Midnight Radio Network, Eric Harley, Gary McNamara, and retired senior trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ask the Law! Woo! Ask the Law for Monday, February 2nd, Groundhog Day.
Why did your voice go up 2 octaves?
Woo! Oh, yay! Oh, you got excited! Yay! Yay! All right, this is Ask the Law for Monday, February 2nd, 2009. Again, Senior Trooper Monty Dial is here. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt and everything. 800-288-9227. Ask the Law is a service of Old Blue USA. And you can go to askthelaw.org for questions anytime, day or night. Just send them your questions. And we thank you. By the way, the questions and answers are current as of today, February 2nd, 2009. Can't change without notice. Gary! How about those Cardinals?
Oh, actually, I've only seen the first half.
I'm sorry.
I saw the first half. I read about what happened, yeah. And I just said, no, I'm not going to watch it yet. And so I plan on watching it. I was going to watch it tomorrow.
What, you're
tomorrow.
Saying we're not going to talk about it?
Well, no, we'll talk about it, but I just mean I saw just the first half.
So you know what happened. You know who won.
Oh, yeah. I read all about it. I want to watch the entire second half at one point, but I realized I can't watch it till Tuesday.
You know, it wasn't, I'll tell you, it wasn't that bad for a Super Bowl game.
Oh,
I was
a great
expecting.
Game.
When it was 20-7, I thought, okay, well, the Cardinals, they put in an effort. It just wasn't enough, and too bad.
We'll talk about that here in a little bit, with retired trooper Monty Dial here in the studio here. Can you assure us, especially after working here in the great state of Texas, after what we saw Friday, that there are no zombies on the road?
Yeah, do we know for sure there are no zombies highways?
There are no zombies
on
the highway.
Somebody hack into the system? What happened there?
Apparently somebody hacked into a system in a sign in Austin that read, "Zombies ahead," and then run.
Yeah, well, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some zombies out there.
Tampering with portable road signs is illegal and potentially dangerous
it
to
is.
Drivers.
Yes, and, it's not more dangerous than zombies now, is it?
No.
All right. 800-288-9227. If you have a question about hours of service or regulations, maybe you have a concern, maybe you've been, maybe you've been sleeping on the hood and all this time you're supposed to be in the sleeper. And you didn't know. You just thought that you were supposed to sleep on the hood where it's warm. Get on board at 800-288-9227. Trooper Dial brought some headlines to us. The MTA convention, and this is the Midwest
Truck Show,
and that's going on. Here in a few days, in fact. It kicks off, Thursday?
Yeah.
And it'll go through next weekend in Peoria, Illinois. Apparently, Secretary LaHood is going to be there.
Yes.
And he's going to have a couple of different topics here he's going to be talking about, right?
Yes. He was apparently the show had gotten Rose McMurray to come in. And apparently now that there is a new Secretary of Transportation, she will be in tow with him.
Mm.
She will not be doing any speaking.
She's the acting FMCSA administrator.
Correct.
So it'll be interesting to see what Secretary LaHood is talking about. They think it'll be getting ready for a DOT audit, drug and alcohol testing, contractual liability, regulatory updates, also card check legislation, air disc brakes, sleep apnea may be one of the conversations that they have.
Yes.
We actually had, not too long ago, a few weeks ago, had a sleep apnea expert on the program, and she actually has been a vital part of the industry's preparation for I guess more discussion on sleep apnea. She's been leading up, her group actually leads up those discussions and has over the years. I believe we're going to see some type of legislation come our way with sleep apnea, electronic onboard recorders, and other items before this administration is done. I think it'll happen probably in the first term. I don't know what will be out there, but likely some kind of proposed rulemaking on one or both of those items, I think, is likely to happen. Do you hear that?
Yes. I think a lot of it's going to depend on who LaHood appoints as the FMCSA administrator.
Right.
Deborah Hirschman has been mentioned, and she is a current board member for NTSB.
Hmm.
And, in fact, she was at the bus crash up in Sherman in August.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And one of the items that has been on the NTSB hot list or most wanted list for the last 30 years
mm-hmm.
has been making it mandatory EOBRs.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is going to depend on whether or not she gets the nod or not. If she does, then I look for the EOBRs to be put on the front burner
mm-hmm.
really quick.
Yeah.
The medical review process has already started.
Mm.
It did not get to a final rule before John Hill left.
Right.
Part of the reform in the medical review was to get doctors certified, have them go through annual training,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that they were looking at was testing every driver for sleep apnea.
Right.
So, like I say, that's already in place. They're working to get all of these doctors lined up, make a list of doctors nationwide that will be qualified to do the DOT medical.
Yeah.
And so a driver will have to go off of one of these doctors on the list
right.
to get his DOT medical.
Hmm.
And sleep apnea will be added as a item that will be checked.
Yeah. I think we'll probably see that happen fairly quickly. And, you know, the discussion on both electronic onboard recorders and sleep apnea over the years has been extensive. Both of them have kind of ramped up. John Hill mentioned that's, you know, that was one of the things he was disappointed that he didn't get taken care of, was electronic onboard recorders. I believe it'll happen, and what will likely happen is they'll go forth with this idea that was part of the discussion a few years ago, you probably remember, and that is if you voluntarily put on an electronic onboard recorder that is tied to a GPS system, then we will give you a break when it comes to compliance reviews.
That is correct. But here again, probably starting somewhere in, I'm going to say October the 1st
mm-hmm.
of 2010 is when the new system comes on board that will no longer be anything like what a current compliance review is.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a system where FMCSA will take and monitor all of the roadside inspections,
mm-hmm.
crash reports. Once they start seeing a pattern, then a letter will be sent to the motor carrier, and in it will identify the problem. The motor carrier has to address what they plan to do to correct the problem. Now, this can be a particular driver.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a particular vehicle, or it can be the entire company.
Right.
Once they respond in a letter on what they're going to do, then this company, the driver, or the vehicle is now back in this loop again.
Mm.
And it keeps going around, and if they continually to see a problem, now then someone from FMCSA or a state partner will call the carrier or the driver. They now come and do a face-to-face.
Right.
They will sit down once again and formulate a battle plan to see if they can correct the problem. The driver, the motor carrier, driver, or vehicle goes back into the loop again, and if nothing has still changed, then FMCSA can come out and actually do a full-blown compliance review.
Hmm.
If at that point in time, if nothing has changed, then they can step in and basically shut the company down.
Wow. You know, that's I'll tell you, that'll be interesting to see this happen, because a lot of drivers over the years have said, look, you know, the company's got to be a part of it too. And we've mentioned on this program before that the companies do come under fire during a compliance review.
Right.
It's hard to say on the side of the road when the DOT is looking at your logbook, you know, it's hard to tell them, hey, you know, they pressed me to be out here, they pushed me to be out here, or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of pressure, according to the drivers, to be on the road for lengthy periods of time. They feel pressured, and a lot of them feel pressured to even bend or break the rules. So I guess the question would, and you mentioned and have mentioned before that during a compliance review is when a company can be, you know, essentially found at fault for, I guess, whatever is on the books right now that can be enforced.
Correct.
Under regulations.
Right. If a driver, whatever the reason, whether they force the driver, mm-hmm. force dispatch the driver,
right.
or whether the driver takes it upon himself,
mm-hmm.
under the current compliance review process, the company is the one that is ultimately penalized. They're the ones that have to pay the civil penalties.
Right.
Under CSA 2010, FMCSA can go out and penalize that driver.
Mm.
You know, if they go in and the company can show them repeated efforts in trying to get this driver to comply with the regulations, but the driver is bullheaded enough that, no, I'm going to do it my way,
mm-hmm.
then FMCSA can step in and say, Mr. Driver, you now owe X number of dollars to the government for failure to comply with the regulations.
Yeah. All right, back with Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol. Drivers, if you want to get on board, ask them regulatory questions. Feel free to get in if you have a question about hours of service. Maybe your safety compliance officer at your company is telling you one thing and you feel confused. Maybe we can straighten things out for you at 800-288-9227. We'll certainly do our best. Been doing Ask the Law for many, many years, and we'll also get to Weather Along the Highways coming up at 33 past.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired trooper Monty Dial.
Mm-hmm.
I can spit that out. 800-288-9227, drivers. Any question that you have on hours of service or anything involving what you do each and every day, give us a call at 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
And remember, the questions and answers are up to date as of February 2nd, 2009. They can change without notice. Go to askthelaw.org. That is the website, askthelaw.org. And by the way, Ask the Law is courtesy of Old Blue USA. If you want to get on board, drivers, we have an open line for you at 800-288-9227.
Let me ask you, I just want to ask you a question quick, because, mm-hmm. Eric, we've talked many times about the electronic onboard recorders.
Right.
And, you know, when John Hill was there, we talked about the fact of will this be an incentive-based situation when it comes to the voluntary part of that. With the change in the administration, though,
right.
and having a Democrat Congress, can you see that the whole philosophy of what the, you know, DOT wants and what the FMCSA wants changes?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think the groundwork has been laid. It's just a matter of whether or not this current administration wants to go forward with it. I know I was listening to a radio station the other day, and there's already one big, huge company that is voluntarily putting them in theirs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I see this more and more happening simply because of the fact of the bones, I call them bones, that are being thrown to carriers that voluntarily step up and then and put the EOBRs on.
Yeah, you know, and I wonder that too, Gary, if the new administration would believe that it's too much Big Brother, it's too much of an intrusion. But I think groups like Public Citizen and others are going to push for this type of legislation, this type of rulemaking they have for quite some time. The positive of it, and we've talked about this, the positive of electronic onboard recorders is that every driver out there produces essentially the same. Now, there's going to be some variances because some companies are going to be they're going to have their truck set at 65, some are going to be set at 58, but for the most part, you're going to see an industry that essentially produces on the same level. You're not going to have guys that are running off the books, which is where they make up real ground. And we've been told this by guys that do this, you know, constantly, that say that I have to run illegally in order to make a living. Well, if you're gonna pay a truck driver, we will come out of this economic situation. And if you're gonna pay a truck driver and you're gonna ask them to have an electronic or mandate that they have an electronic onboard recorder in their truck, then you're gonna have to do something about pay.
Oh yeah.
Because you're not going to be able to keep drivers out there. A lot of drivers have already left the industry. To get them to come back, I think, will be a real challenge. We'll get more on this, and we also have some calls coming in we'll answer right after the weather break. Stand by.
Brian and more, your calls and comments coming up on the Midnight Radio Network. It's a Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Drivers 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
And we've got retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol in here answering your questions at 800-288-9227 every first Monday right here on the program. This is, of course, all the answers are up to date as of February 2nd, 2009. They can change without notice. And Ask the Law is a service of Old Blue USA. Go to askthelaw.org. Anytime to ask your questions, 800-288-9227.
And let's go to Brian. Brian, hi, you're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law with retired trooper Monty Dial. Welcome. Hi, Brian.
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
Good. Well, good. Monty, I think he was talking to you, not me.
I've been trying to get a hold of Trooper Downing. Is that how you say his name?
Dial, like the radio dial.
I've been trying to get a hold of this guy. I've been wanting to ask him a pretty simple question. I drive locally for a company here in Dallas, Texas, and my company requires me to have a Class B. I drive a box truck. It's a one-axle truck, and every day I start from a hub here in Dallas, and I drive about 100, 200 miles east, like Abilene, Waco, Wichita Falls, Bridgeport, Stephenville, Mineral Wells, Cleburne. Okay?
All right.
I'm just wondering what documentation. I see the state troopers, Texas state troopers everywhere in those areas, and I'm just wondering, driving a box truck, one axle, what am I required to have as far as log books and time schedule sheets and stuff like that in my cab if I was to ever get stopped and checked in a road check? I know it's just a box truck, but still, I've been caught up in them road checks before, like on I-45 and coming out of Hutchinson's, and I've also been caught up in them coming up out of Bridgeport and the Cleburne area, and I just wondered what documentation, you know, that is a Texas state trooper going to ask someone that drives a box truck, you know, like a hauling whatever, you know, chemicals, you know, furniture, whatever, even though it is a box truck.
Okay, Brian, first off, what we're going to do is we need to find out whether or not the vehicle is going to be subject to the DOT regulations or the Texas Motor Carrier Safety regulations. One of the things we're going to do is we're going to look at what does the truck actually weigh, what is the truck registered for, or what is the GVWR of the truck. If all three of those are less than, are 26,000 pounds or less, then the Texas Motor Carrier Safety Regulations do not apply to you.
26,000 pounds or less?
Correct.
Okay.
So if you'll open up the driver's door, either on the door or the doorpost, you will find what we call a NADER sticker. It's a white sheet with black writing, and on it, it will tell you what the GVWR is. Next thing you need to do is look and see, get a copy of the license receipt. It will tell you what the gross registered weight is. If that number is 26,000 pounds or less, then the third thing we're going to look at is what does the truck and its cargo actually weigh. If all three of those weights are 26,000 pounds or less, then all you're subject to is state law.
Okay. What about carrying a pre-trip book and your...
None of that applies. That's all under the Texas Motor Carrier Safety Regulations.
Because my company, they require us to have it on our truck.
That's fine. That's company policy. That's not something that roadside we're going to look for.
Okay. Okay. I've always wondered that with box trucks and, you know, like your milk trucks and your ice cream trucks,
mm-hmm.
even though they're box trucks.
Right.
I've always wondered, you know, getting caught up in these road checks that, and I know as long as you've been a state trooper, and even though you're retired, I know that you've seen these, you know, dairy trucks and ice cream trucks and stuff rolling around. And,
right.
You know, we haul chemicals. I'm driving a box truck, but I'm hauling chemicals.
What kind of chemicals are you hauling?
Your standard, like your cleaning solvents, kind of like a safety clean truck.
Oh, okay, you know? Okay. All right. Do you have something to ride on and
yes.
with?
Yes, sir.
Let me give you a website to go to.
Okay.
www.txdps.state.tx.us/lw.
Wow, that's a website.
Right. When you pull that website up, you want to find a book or a publication called A Guide to Highway Safety, A Motor Carrier's Guide to Highway Safety.
Okay.
It's called an MCS-9.
Okay.
When you pull it up, it's going to be, I think, 40 to 50 pages long, and it's going to break all of the sections down. Where you want to start is you want to start in part 390.
Okay.
When you pull up 390, it's going to give you the interstate version, and it's going to give you the intrastate version.
Okay.
Go to the intrastate, and it's going to basically tell you just what you and I talked about right here. 26,000 pounds or less, you're not subject to the regulations. If that's the case, don't worry about anything else. If the actual weight or the registered weight or the GVWR is more than 26,000 pounds, now we have to go back and start looking at each one of these sections to find out what you're going to be subject to.
And you're only on, what, about once a month?
Once a month.
Okay, that's the first. Okay, now let me verify this website, txdps.state.tx.us/LW/
Put in that /LW.
Oh, LW.
Right.
Okay. And that .com.
No, don't even worry about the .com.
Okay. All righty. That helps me out a whole lot because I see that you guys out there all the time. Guys, I'm sure you've worked with over the years, and I see the stops and stuff that they do and the checks points, and I've always wondered, you know, am I in guidance? You know, am I going to get a ticket for something I'm not carrying properly, some type of proper documentation?
Yeah, right.
So that helps me out a whole lot. So.
Well, we do appreciate it. Thank you so much for the call. Trooper Dial, the one question I had is someone carrying cleaning chemicals and stuff like that, and I hear certain caustic chemicals from soda pop can be hazmat. He would know, obviously, if he's hauling hazmat. Can a box truck that small haul hazmat?
A lot of it is going to depend. If he was hauling the concentrate,
right,
then chances are it would probably fall into the corrosive class.
Okay.
But the normal industrial cleaning supplies, which I took that to be what he was delivering.
Right.
Under EPA, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Under FMCSA, no.
No. All right. Yeah. Interesting. Do some of those lighter trucks haul hazmat from time to time?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's interesting. And so there are certain routes that those lighter trucks can't
Oh, yes.
On.
Yes. I always loved it when, when the 4th of July came around.
Uh-huh.
And I always loved it when Christmas came around.
Right.
Because you go out there and you start finding these little bitty trucks like that that are going to these firework wholesalers.
Right.
To pick up and take it back out to their firecracker stand.
Right.
And catch a lot of those because most all of the stuff on there is a hazmat.
Really?
And they're not running placards. The driver doesn't have a CDL.
Right. Well, what about the normal Joe that's got that stuff in his station wagon, goes out and buys some fireworks, you know, two-for-one black hats, and takes them home? Is he hauling, technically, is he hauling hazmat, or does that have to be a certain amount?
No, what we do is we go back and look at for commerce.
Right.
Okay. You know, you as an individual goes out and purchases the fireworks for, you know, you and your kids to discharge.
Mm-hmm.
You're not actually in the commerce like the firecracker stand. That's how he's making his money, is selling the stuff.
Well, you know something, just over the weekend, I don't know what the name of the program is, but it's where they get those controlled demolition folks
on.
And this is where they were knocking down one of the rocket towers at Cape Canaveral.
Right.
And so they had to bring in all these high, you know, explosives, I mean, that you could actually say it was military grade stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was a small box truck that the girl who's part owner of the company, they said she just drove 500 miles in and it looked like a box almost put on a pickup truck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did they go down the road with all that stuff in there?
Well, a lot of it is depending upon, so you start getting into explosives. Now you start getting into certain commodities have to be segregated.
Right.
There's one company, and I'm not going to mention any names, but if you see them, they've got a what looks like a miniature box van on the back of their tractors.
Right.
Well, as an example, if you've got C4, you cannot put the detonation cords in the same container.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what they have to do is they have to segregate it, and they put one part in one container, and they put the other part in another container simply because of the segregation that's required.
Right, right. Interesting. You learn something new on the program all the time, don't you? I know I do. All right, Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Drivers, if you have a question for retired trooper Monty Dial, we'd love to hear from you at 800-288-9227. Some Justin boots to be given away sometime before the show is up this morning. Have a couple of pair to be handed out. So get on board now. It is Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired, I can't say the word retired for some reason, retired trooper Monty Dial. See, I can't admit it that you're retired. That's what it is.
We don't want to admit it.
Gary McNamara, Eric Harley.
All right. 800-288-9227. By the way, questions and answers are up to date as of February 2nd, 2009. Ask the Law, a service of Old Blue USA.
Let's go to Charles in Oklahoma City. Charles, hi, you're on the Midnight Radio Network and you're on Ask the Law with retired trooper Monty Dial.
Mm-hmm.
Said it.
Hey there, trooper. I wanted to ask real quick. Now, is it that you can be arrested for using profanity or just not cooperating with the officer? I mean, isn't that the thing that gets you arrested, or can the first thing get you arrested too?
Well, one of the things, Charles, is you can sit there and there are some federal court cases that you can sit there and cuss a law enforcement officer up one side and down the other side, and he cannot do anything to you.
Hmm.
That's not to say that he cannot find another reason.
Right. You're giving him a reason. You're opening the door. That's essentially.
You're giving him incentive.
Well, what about the cooperation aspect of it? I think that is a valid question. And now, if he says, hand me your logbook, and the driver says no, is there something he can do there? Can he place you out of service?
Well, what happens is now we get into a situation that a law in most states, and I don't know of a state one that does not have it under state law, that if a law enforcement officer gives you a direct order, you must comply.
Mm, okay.
Failure to do so will result in you being arrested.
All right. Thank you so much for the call. So I think a valid, certainly a valid question.
Yeah, so profanity after you've requested something might get you busted.
Yeah. Stand by. There's more on the way with Ask the Law at 800-288-9227.